Talking today about my project on increasing early detection of invasive species through targeted outreach. So as many of you know, invasive forest pests have been a real problem in the last century. And as you can see from the pictures on the left-hand side, we have a picture of the American chestnut in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park before it was wiped out by chestnut blight. On the right-hand side, we have a street lined with American elms before Dutch elm disease came through and wiped out the American elms. And as these examples show, invasive species have a major impact on both urban and natural forest settings. By the end of 2005, $10.2 trillion worth of goods were being traded globally per year, moving 9 billion tons of merchandise. This is up from the end of 1999, when $6.2 trillion worth of goods were being moving 6 billion tons of merchandise. And as more goods are moved around the globe, there are more opportunities for invasive species to get moved along with those. So as global trade increases, our problems with invasive species will get worse. Solid packing material has been a recognized pathway of invasive forest pests since the 1970s. And as you can see from the pictures here, emerald ash borer, European wood wasp, and Asian longhorn beetle were all introduced into North America via this pathway. And for those of you who don't know, solid packing material is raw wood products that are used with cargo to prevent them from shifting during transport. And it includes dunnage, crating, pallets, packing blocks, drums, cases, spools, and skids. In recognition of this problem, the International Plant Protection Convention came up with International Standard for Phytosanitary Measure number 15, which was adopted in 2002 by 134 different countries. And what this states is that solid packing material that comes into member countries must be heat treated or fumigated with methyl bromide and then marked appropriately. On the bottom right, you can see an example of the mark. The X is the country code, the zeros are the number assigned to the solid packing material producer, and the Ys are the type of treatment received, and it's either HT for heat treatment or MB for methyl bromide. Now there are still problems with ISPM number 15. Violations do occur and they're difficult to detect. There have been some cases of countries who will mark the wood as having been treated, but it actually wasn't, so insects will come out anyways. Inspections are difficult and time-consuming by the nature of solid packing material. It's under heavy material, it's behind stuff, it's hard to get to. Only 1 to 5% is actually inspected because of the huge volume of it being moved around with all these trade goods. And the two biggest problems are that the treatments only provide temporary protection. So methyl bromide and heat treating will kill whatever's in the wood at the time that it's treated, but then they throw it outside to store it and it could be reinfested. And also inclusion of bark has been shown to make the treatments much less effective as well. Now, as new invasive species are being introduced to new places, naturally people are finding them in their new environments. Over the last 15 years, private citizen reports have been one of the major sources for these. The problem with that is that it comes at varying stages in the invasion process, as these two examples show. The pine shoot beetle was reported by a Christmas tree grower in Ohio in 1992, but only after it had established over a 6-state area. But in contrast to that, the European wood wasp was found in Bloomington, Indiana in 2002 by a warehouse employee, and it was reported early enough to prevent it from escaping into the Hoosier National Forest. Now, this example gave us an idea for my project, which was to see if we could find a way to make private citizen reports not random and not leave it to chance and use them as a group to detect invasive species before they get out into the environment. And I worked with Judy Ann Tippin of the U.S. Forest Service to develop an outreach concept, and she also helped me secure funding for the project. Now, first I had to find a target audience that was well placed to intercept solid packing material pests, and what I decided on was pest management professionals. And there's a lot of advantages to this group. They service a lot of different clients that receive solid packing material, so they're in place in warehouses and factories and stores. They're all over the place. And they're already in these places focused on looking for pests. They have a knowledge of common insects in their areas, so if they see something that they see every day, they know it's probably not a problem, but if they see something unusual, they're going to notice it. Client education is integral to their work, so not only do I educate the pest management professionals, but I can reach their clients as well through them. And they also require continuing education credits to retain their operating license, which is convenient because they're always looking for new programs like the one I was proposing to develop. So now that I had a target audience, I needed to identify some educational opportunities for them. I conducted surveys to confirm that they actually do encounter solid packing material on a regular enough basis to make a difference, and to identify gaps in knowledge. Now, the first survey was looking at contact and response to solid packing material on client properties, and 90% of them reported that solid packing material was present on their client properties and that they'd seen it. 67 reported that they knew for a fact that their clients received shipments from overseas, and 67% of them reported that they're already inspecting solid packing material for pests like rodents and occasional invaders and other species that use it as harborage in these places. Now, the biggest educational opportunity came with my 2007 survey, where I asked them if they found something that they didn't recognize on their client's property, what would they do? 90% of them reported that they would recommend containment procedures to prevent it from escaping into the environment. But when I presented them with some different containment options that were recommended to me by the Indiana State entomologist, not many of them really knew what to do. So only a very small percentage would move the infested material indoors. I actually found out that most of them would move it outdoors instead. Not very many would cover it with a tarp, but that got the biggest response. A few would close doors, and nobody had any idea about light traps to try to find out what was in the place. So I identified this big educational gap. I know that 90% of them know that invasive species are a problem. They don't want them to get out in the environment. But obviously, they lacked the technical capacity to prevent that from happening. So I had my big target for the educational program, but I needed to back it up with some other stuff. So I went through and defined the reporting process. I talked to our state plant health director and our Indiana State entomologist to see what happens during the reporting process, see who they should contact, who they recommend they should contact, and what procedures they needed to take to contain the suspected invasive species. I looked into background information about invasive species, including definitions, biological attributes, global trade histories and issues, economic and environmental impacts, and tactics currently in place. And the reason I did this is I want them to have an understanding so they can pass that on to their clients of the whole problem of invasive species. And I also want them to know that they're part of a much larger effort and that, they are aiding in this huge problem that is facing the United States and the rest of the world. I also needed to clarify ISPM number 15 strengths and weaknesses. When I talked to them about my project in the beginning of it, they'd say, well, we just adopted ISPM number 15. It's not a problem anymore. We don't need to worry about solid packing material. So I needed to be able to demonstrate that that wasn't true. And once I had all this in place, we developed what we call safer inspection practices to detect invasive species in solid packing material and then contain them. So I came up with a list of steps that they could take to achieve that. Once I had all the educational material in place, I wanted to make sure that the message that I had come up with was sufficient. And I trained pest management professionals, 116 of them, between April 2006 and October 2007 all over the state of Indiana. And I asked them, once they'd gone through the training and listened to what I had to say, to complete an evaluation form, and the responses were based on a Likert scale 1 to 5, 1 indicating strong disagreement, 5 indicating strong agreement. Here's the results from that. When I asked them if they felt that the information I presented was relevant to their businesses, most of them seemed to agree, which was very encouraging to me, which said that they see that there's a place for pest management professionals in early detection. When I asked them if they felt that they could market this as a service to their clients based on the information presented, basically the result I got was maybe. So it's a new idea. They haven't heard of it before. They're always a little bit cautious about marketing new things to their clients. But they didn't say no, which I found encouraging. The best thing was when I asked them if they'd be more likely to report suspicious insects after hearing the information I presented, they said yes, which made me very, very happy. So now that I knew that the message that I developed was appropriate and that it seemed to be reaching these people, I developed it into an online course, which was administered through Purdue University's Continuing Education Division. There are a lot of advantages to this. They have a long history of working with pest management professionals. Their urban center is very well known and recognized, so these guys trust them. It's self-sustaining, which means after I graduate, this program will still be going on, and it will be reaching people. And even better, the course catalog is circulated among 25,000 pest management professionals nationwide, a lot more people than I could reach just giving talks. So in conclusion, invasive forest pests entering the country and solid packing material are still threatening North American resources, and the safeguarding systems in place are not enough. Programs targeting people like pest management professionals can potentially increase early detection and reporting, and I hope that my program will do that. So some acknowledgments. I'd really like to thank Judy Ann Tippin of the U.S. Forest Service for all of her help in this project, especially for funding. I'd like to thank my advisor and my committee. A couple people at the Nature Conservancy have been a big help, and everybody at Purdue Department of Entomology. So with that, thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.